You're listening to the Matt Clark Report. Matt Clark Report. Conservative talk for real patriots, because freedom is on the ballot. Here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good afternoon, patriots. Welcome to the Matt Clark Report. We are broadcasting live from New York. 7 days. We are at the home stretch. 7 days. Freedom is on the ballot. And what is probably going to go down as the most important and critical House and Senate race we have ever experienced in our lifetime. It is literally down to the wire. Medical freedom is at stake. Crime rising, skyrocketing throughout the country is at stake. And we need to do everything we possibly can to put an end to the tyranny that we have suffered and faced over the last 2 years here in the United States of America. Today, we're going to talk about a few key races. We've got the New York race up here between gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin and incumbent Democrat Kathy Hochul. We're also going to talk about Governor Ron DeSantis down in Florida and what he's doing to help get New York back on track, to free it from the shackles of the awful and very disgusting Kathy Hochul. We'll pull in our first guest, Christina Mailey Higley, right now live from Florida to join our show. How are you, Christina?
Doing great. Good. Hello from the state of freedom.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we are very jealous of you. You're down there in the not just the freest state in the country, but possibly the freest place on planet Earth. I mean, would you agree?
I mean, yeah, Florida is the dream. It's the dream. We're bringing the American dream back again. And Floridians, they love DeSantis. They love their freedom. And we love our Constitution down here.
So tell me, what is going down? What, you're on the ground. You're in Florida. Okay. And, you know, we hear the news. We hear the headlines. Clearly, Governor Ron DeSantis is smashing it in the polls. 14-point lead. Charlie Crist, even just yesterday, or I think it was this morning, came out and said he supports mask mandates. I mean, is he trying to commit political suicide? I mean, why would you say something like that if it was such a shoo-in for DeSantis? Does he really think he could change this election by saying such outrageous statements as, I support mask mandates, I support whatever the science says? Are we that close, or has he just lost his freaking mind?
So on the ground here in Florida, I have a unique perspective coming from New York State and, you know, seeing what Democrats and these woke individuals do to communities, to our state. And very early on, the Democrats here in Florida came out and said that they were not going to be throwing a whole lot of money at Crist and at the Democratic candidates, period, down here, because as we know, the last 2 years in particular, freedom has reigned in Florida. And I'm not sure what the strategy is at this point. I can tell you that for every 4 flyers I get in the mail or postcards for DeSantis, I've maybe gotten one for Crist. People just don't want to hear it. You know, I was at a local sports bar this past weekend and a commercial came on for him and people in the bar started booing. It's not what the majority of Floridians want. And God bless him. I mean, if he thinks that masks are what we want, he obviously has been living in another universe, because, you know, I traveled down here frequently back in 2020, 2021, before we made the decision to move. And we never wore a mask when we were down here, and I don't plan to do it now.
Why do you think he's decided? I mean, this guy is such a freaking lunatic. He used to be Republican. Wasn't he like an independent? And then now he's a Democrat. I mean, who gave him the idea that he actually even stood a fraction of an ounce of a chance? Like who planted that seed? Again,
the Democratic Party didn't want to spend money on this campaign. They made it very clear from day one that this was not where they were going to be focusing their efforts and their resources. The way that they positioned it to like the general public was they were going to be focusing on national elections. So really, I think they had to run someone. He's already committed, you know, political career suicide once before. I'm not sure how they think that he's remotely what folks down here would ever vote for again.
Right. I mean, you take a look at this screenshot here. Okay. We've got Governor DeSantis leading the polls by an average of 12.3, mm-hmm. up 14 points, University of North Florida poll, up 11 points, Florida Atlantic University. I mean, there's not a single poll that puts this guy anywhere near neutral territory. What do you make of this?
So I think that, you know, we certainly can contribute a lot of this to folks like myself, conservatives and Republicans that have moved from all over the country, even other red states. People have left to come to Florida to live this American dream, to have their rights protected. Just DeSantis has led by example, and he's proven that it works, right? Like, I mean, we have such an influx of people moving here that there's no chance for a Democratic candidate like Chris. People left states, literally fled states like New York, California, Washington, Oregon, to come down to Florida to live a different life. And I can tell you, Floridians like myself, we're not welcoming the politics of Chris here in our state.
I want you to weigh in on the education down there, because for those of you who don't know Christina Higley, Christina led the charge up here in New York, several court cases during COVID, going after the tyrannical indoctrination camps led by the teachers unions that had a stranglehold on our children. And you led the charge up here on these lawsuits and exposed New York and its judicial system for the corruption that it is, which kind of ultimately, not, I don't want to say drove you out of New York, but you and your family, after you realized how corrupt it was up here, you and your family made a conscious decision to go down to Florida. You're now seeing the difference between the education in Democratic states and in Florida states. So can you weigh in a little bit on what you saw when Governor DeSantis got involved in literally flipping the boards, or the, I guess the school boards down there, right?
So even taking DeSantis out of the equation, Florida in general is a very pro-parent, right, pro-medical freedom, you know, like keep the government and the schools out of your children's life type of atmosphere. People here are very activated and engaged long before DeSantis was even governor. But when you add a layer like a Governor DeSantis who's standing by parents, who's saying you have a right to know what's going on in the classroom, you have a right to say, no, I don't want my child learning about, you know, the CRT curriculum or this perverse sex ed curriculum. It's just, it's night and day. Parents feel like they have a voice. Parents feel like they're valued, that they're a partner in their education with their children and their schools. And you know, you don't feel like when you drop your kid off at the front door of a school that you're relinquishing all of your rights and praying for the best. Like, there's a lot more transparency down here, as far as, you know, knowing what is being taught in the classrooms. And when parents say, no, this is not what I want taught in the classroom, we're able to have healthier dialogue than we are up in New York. I mean, Matt, you and I saw so many times, and even with myself, as I was pushing back against, you know, just the tyranny of the COVID mandates and the abuse of the CARES Act money in our schools and just everything that was going on, folks like myself who down here are welcome with open arms, and we can have healthy dialogue. I was considered a domestic terrorist in New York State before I left for speaking up at board meetings or saying, hey, this is sick. This is perverse what you want to teach my five-year-old. No, you're not going to do it. I was seen as, you know, anything but a concerned parent wanting to be a part of the educational process for my children.
What was the final straw that made you say, I'm done, I'm out of here?
Yeah. A couple of things. Certainly, like, you know, I love my friends and my family that are still in New York for a variety of reasons. But there's two things that I really noticed. The first being, I want to be around like-minded people that want to fight just as hard as me for my children and for my constitutional rights. And I feel like, you know, I'm hoping New York is starting to wake up, but a lot of people would say, yeah, I don't like this. But they didn't want to come and do anything about it. They wanted a small group of us to carry the weight of everyone in the community and to fight back. And that was becoming exhausting. I want to be, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, around strong, like-minded people. And I feel that I've found that here in Florida, that, you know, people are not going to let the government tell us what to do with our kids or our families. The second piece of it is I was really seeing, eyes wide open, that like our court system in New York was not neutral. They weren't there to hear the case. They were bought and sold just like the politicians. And for me, it was just not something that I wanted to be a part of any longer.
And, you know, I witnessed that, and you and I have had several conversations about this. And I always said, I just can't believe how corrupt the judicial system really is, in not just New York, but in Democrat states across the country. I mean, there's a lot of people who are tuning into this show right now all over the country. And you see it in Michigan. You got Governor Whitmer, who, by the way, is neck and neck. It's a toss-up with this gubernatorial race in Michigan against Tudor Dixon. You've got down in Arizona now, Carrie Lake, who's going up against Katie Hobbs. And I really think we need these Republican governors to win, not just because I want them to win, but to really just kind of clean house and remind the judicial system, which Lee Zeldin is about to do in New York City with the Manhattan DA. The first thing he's going to do is fire him. He said it very clearly. He's going to fire him. Letitia James, gone. Everybody gone. Clean house, not to put people in that he wants to be the new sheriff in town, but to just restore a proper judicial system into these Democrat states, which I feel is what you have down in Florida. I mean, would you say that's a fair assessment? Would you say it's fairly independent, the judicial system down in a state like Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've watched court cases, even just on the education front and the COVID front, that have played out. You know, there was a group of parents that sued Governor DeSantis when I first moved down here last spring, because they were saying that by lifting all mask mandates in schools, it was going to be detrimental to their children that had health issues and such. And, you know, the court system heard it out, and the judge sided with the parents the first time around, you know. One would think, if it was anything like what we experienced up in New York State, that it would just be a win, an easy win for DeSantis, right?
Right.
It actually had to go back through the appeals process. DeSantis and his team had to, you know, go back through the court system again. And so you see court cases, and there's numerous other ones on other fronts I could discuss as well, where they're using case law and previous cases that have played out here in Florida to determine their rulings. And they're looking at the constitutional side of it. And they're, you know, I think that there is definitely something to be said, and there is a difference between Florida and New York and how cases are handled and worked through in the judicial system.
Knowing what you know in New York, do you think we stand a chance at this gubernatorial race between Zeldin and Kathy Hochul? I mean, you've been following it, right? You followed it from a year ago. I mean, a year ago, would you have thought Zeldin would even remotely come close to winning?
Yeah. So, like, I'm a total political junkie. Yeah. I've been waiting 2 years for this election. I actually said to my husband, I was mad that we made plans for dinner next Tuesday night with another couple, because I want to be on a social media and home watching TV instead of having dinner with this lovely couple.
This election is going to drag on and on. You know, nothing's going to be decided on November 8th, which annoys the hell out of me.
I don't care. That's still that's like my Super Bowl. Right. It's my Super Bowl of the year. Like, November 8th. Don't mess with November 8th. But I think that I kind of knew that there was a change in the polling and what was going on when Trump endorsed Zeldin. It got me a little bit more perked up as to like what is going on. And certainly, you know, DeSantis coming up this past weekend to New York to campaign on Zeldin's behalf. I think that there's definitely something there. I think this could be the next Virginia governor's race. I think that this may be, like DeSantis said on his social media, the shot heard around the world if Zeldin wins next week. There's a huge possibility. There's a huge possibility that this is going to go to Zeldin.
I 3 weeks ago, I would have said, no way, no chance. I mean, I've been very honest to my audience. I know you're a very honest person, especially when it comes to politics. I don't tell people what they want to hear. If I don't think a candidate's going to win, no matter how badly I want that candidate to win, I'm just going to straight up say, I really don't see any avenue of winning here. And I've been very honest. Mm-hmm. Up until 2 weeks ago, I would have said, I'm still not convinced Zeldin could do it. After seeing not just Trump endorse Zeldin, which I agree with you, massive, massive move. You know
why? He only endorses people that he thinks are going to win. Because he loves winning. Exactly. And he likes saying, I have this winning streak. I've lost none of the elections for people that I've endorsed. Yep. So that was huge because in the past, even when Trump ran for president in 2016 and again in 2020, he spent very little time in New York, very little, very little attention because he knew that that just was not where the votes were. So to see him now endorse Zeldin is huge that he's giving that attention to New York.
Exactly. And you just nailed it. And that's the first thing I thought of when Trump endorsed Zeldin. I said, he wants that winning record. And I don't care, whatever. Trump's sneaky like that. Okay. He loves winning. He likes to put in an 11th hour endorsement, whatever. I don't care. His record speaks. I'll take it. Absolutely. And his record speaks for itself. The guy has a freaking impeccable record when it comes to endorsements. He's something like, I mean, I've lost track now throughout the primaries, but it's like 94% winning record, whether somebody's running unopposed or whether he calls it in the 11th hour. I don't care. He does put his weight behind candidates he believes is going to win. And he didn't do that in the primary, which is why Zeldin was kind of forced to go with Mike Pence, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jesus, this is a risky move going with Pence. But I get it. I get why he had to do it. He needed something to get this far. But now Trump's coming and said, you've got my stamp of approval. So now Trafalgar Group actually has Zeldin and Hochul at a tie. At a tie. I mean, that's huge. Now, this is just one poll out of several. But if we take a look at these polls here, you know, you've got Hochul anywhere, depending on the insanity of who's actually doing these polls, but you've got an average lead of 4.5 points, which I'd like to see that much more narrow leading up to this, but you have some polls putting Hochul 24 points ahead, which is ludicrous, absolute ludicrous, down to, a tie, Trafalgar Group, which gives him an average of 4.5 points. What do you think about DeSantis coming up and backing Lee?
Well, it made me feel really good as a Floridian that he believes he has his campaign so under control and his election just under wraps that he was able to sneak away on a Saturday, right, on a weekend up to New York. It makes me feel hopeful for New York to see that someone that has been not just a fantastic governor to Florida, but I think has become kind of like the whole United States governor, right? Like there's nobody I've talked to that doesn't like the guy that lives in other states. I think that there's some hope in that. And I'm hoping that DeSantis took the time to really research Zeldin and have meaningful conversations before, you know, backing him. And I believe he did. So I think that that is definitely for folks that are looking to regain some normalcy, that have wished that they could move to Florida. I would say that's a clear sign that your vote should be with Zeldin. So very, very interesting move, Matt. I was thinking of this about this a lot this morning. I can't in recent years think of when a governor who's up for election themselves has went to another state to campaign for another right. potential governor. It's just, it's pretty historical. I can't think of a time that off the top of my head where a sitting governor has gone and done that for another potential candidate running. Right.
I mean, such a gangster move for DeSantis to just be like, listen, my campaign's done. We've got it. Charlie Crist is such a freaking disaster. I'm not even remotely concerned. I'll be up in New York helping out Lee Zeldin make New York State free, because I honestly believe that if he could join me in this fight for freedom, we may actually see other states say, hey, hold on a second. I mean, California is a freaking lost cause, right? California is just, they proved that during the recall election. Newsom won the recall by a landslide. I mean, it wasn't even an issue in California. So forget California for a second. But I see why DeSantis did it, because he's so passionate, not just about Florida, but DeSantis is passionate for all Americans. And I think if we get New York to flip red, wow, what a movement that's going to mean or be for the rest of the country. I mean, can you imagine? Everybody else is going to sit there and say, wait, why can't my Democrat state be red?
Yeah. I think it just speaks volumes, honestly, to the character of DeSantis too, because think about the amount of tax revenue and just like money that New Yorkers have brought to Florida over the last 2 years fleeing New York State. You know, you would think a man like DeSantis would be like, oh, let that place burn have ground. Everybody keep moving down here. I'll take all these. I mean, even myself, I transferred 2 LLCs from New York down to Florida. But to me, I think that that shows that he genuinely sees the value. And I think for so long, we've talked about, you know, states like New York and California being a cancer to the country.
Absolutely.
And once things start to happen in those states, it slowly starts to spread. So I think that honestly, DeSantis taking the time and investing in Zeldin to come in and campaign for him and fundraise for him and the different activities that I've heard have been going on now for a few weeks before this appearance, I think it's just, it shows that he wants to put America first and he sees the importance in New York turning red again.
I mean, I've said it for 2 years, New York and California are the liberal playbook of insanity. I mean, whatever Newsom does, Kathy Hochul wants to do, it's like they stay up at night and compete against each other as to who can come up with the more insane policy for their state. It's almost like they're in competition with each other. And I think DeSantis just kind of looks at the situation and says, listen, we got to get New York because it just can't be Florida. Florida cannot be the only state that follows the Constitution. It's too risky, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, again, it really comes back to, which we've been saying all along, and when I came down here to Florida and really started getting involved in local groups down here and in political parties and such, you know, I said, what's happening in New York and California, it will come here.
Yeah.
It will absolutely attempt to come here. So I think that, again, this is a really smart move on behalf of Republican governors like DeSantis to try to help out where they can in other parts of the country, knowing that this will affect upcoming elections, particularly in 2024. So I think that there's definitely there's a method to their madness. It's a little bit more, I'm sure, than DeSantis and Zeldin just becoming new friends.
I mean, you have Zeldin right now. He's only down by 4.5 points average. When Cuomo won his race in 2014, Cuomo won it by 13.4%. 2018, Cuomo won it by 22 points. I mean, a massive landslide. It wasn't even, it's just, you didn't even talk about it then, right? I mean, there's no way a Republican was going to win New York State even just 4 years ago. So we've come a long way. And I think New York State is a representation of the country and the frustration that Democrats and Republicans alike are feeling all throughout the United States of America. I don't think it's just New York anymore. I think, you know, everybody is starting to wake up, which is why even Real Clear Politics has the Senate or Republicans winning the Senate 53 to 47, picking up three seats. Nevada, Georgia, Arizona. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a done deal in the Senate, or are you a little bit worried? What do you think as far as picking up three seats to win the Senate on November 8th?
I think that when I look at the numbers and I think about where we've been just since 2020 alone, I think there were a lot of promises made that just simply haven't been delivered on. And I think that the majority of Americans are finally waking up as they're experiencing hardships at the gas pump, purchasing groceries. We're now talking about a possible energy crisis for those heating their homes this winter, having to choose between, you know, paying the heat bill or putting food on the table. And I think that, you know, again, back to folks like DeSantis who've led through all of this and have shown, you know, that they're wrong. People now are starting to wake up and see, you know, this isn't what we were promised. They're not delivering on it. We can't continue to sustain and live this way. And we're talking about, we've already gone into a recession, but we haven't seen even the tip of the iceberg yet for what is going to continue to come our way as we head into this winter with energy issues and just inflation soaring with no sight of it returning back to anything like it was right pre-2020 elections. So I think that, I think Americans are starting to wake up and realize that there really was nothing wrong with America. We don't need all these woke ideas and these false promises here in this country. It's not working, right? If it's not working, you have to make a change. And again, not only with these Senate races, but also with the governor race in New York, you know, we're seeing a lot of Democrats who are even now coming out and saying, hey, this party isn't working for me anymore. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to feed my family or keep the lights on. We got to do something different, right? They've put themselves in such a corner that people literally are able to say, well, it can't be any worse than the Democrat candidate. So I think that this has completely backfired the last 2 years for the Democrat Party. And people are dying for a return to, I think, pre-Biden days.
Is that what you're seeing down in Florida? I mean, I think I'm seeing that up here in New York. Are you seeing a lot of Democrats? Do you talk to Democrats? Is this what they're telling you? I mean, are they fed up? Are they done? We know Republicans have been fed up.
Yeah.
Are you hearing from Democrats down there saying the similar thing as what you and I say?
Yeah. So it's funny because I was actually just talking to someone recently who told me that they switched from being a registered Democrat to an independent. And it's almost like they're embarrassed to have that D next to their name any longer, because they're realizing like, okay, I may not agree with everything the conservative Republican Party has to say, but I sure as heck don't want to be associated with the Democrats anymore.
Yeah, why
either.
Would you?
So I think that there's more people, I would say, not necessarily that are jumping to like the Republican side of things, but that are saying, I want to vote based on principles and the person and what's best for my family and not necessarily vote by a party line. And let's face it, the party line that people are wanting to go for at this point as they're going broke is the Republican Party. You know, the independent party, as we've talked about before, is just, it's not strong enough to really bring anything to the table at this point in America.
I mean, people in Florida are thriving. The economy's doing well. Mm-hmm. Didn't DeSantis just like clear the deficit, or what happened with that financially?
We have a major surplus here.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, there's no debt. Like, Florida has a major surplus heading into this upcoming year. Like, it's just, but again, he never shut down. Businesses continued to thrive. Tourism is at an all-time high, even still. I mean, just the cost of living, his cost of living in Florida before COVID was always a little bit behind the curve, prices of homes, mm-hmm. and such. Now it's just, it's unbelievable, the demand here in Florida and the amount of people that are wanting to live this American dream and get back to the basics and have leadership that just is straight common sense. I mean, things could have gone two ways, right? Like, back during COVID, DeSantis could have completely destroyed his political career if he had been wrong. But I think what he's proven to America is that common sense prevailed. He was right. And I think more people want common sense back in politics.
I mean, we have proof of concept now. If the country wants to know, does freedom work? Do lockdowns work? Just look at what happened in Florida and New York. I mean, you don't need a crystal ball. You just look at what DeSantis did. You look at everything that he fought for. You look at the result. I mean, the results speak for itself, which is why it blows my mind when I'm traveling. When I came down to see you last, do you remember I told you the story? I'm sitting there at the airport up here in New York with a few people who live in Florida. We're all at a table. We're massively delayed because the airlines in the United States are such garbage. So we're delayed as usual. And there's probably five Floridians sitting at my table. Half of them thought DeSantis was a monster. And half of them were thinking the other half were batshit crazy for not liking DeSantis. And I was like, I cannot believe the divide here. And it just, I couldn't believe that there's even a handful of people who don't see all the positive in what DeSantis did for Florida. Why do you think that is? Why are there some people who know the results worked in their favor, in Florida's mm-hmm. favor? They know DeSantis won decision after decision, yet they're still hardcore haters. Why? I don't get that.
Yeah. I mean, so there's always going to be people that just like to complain, right? Like, and I think that what I notice down here, and it gets on my last nerve too, is that people have nothing else to compare it to. Mm-hmm. So until they're put in a position like us folks were up in New York and they see what the alternative is, they really don't realize how good they have it. Like, just how lucky they are that there's people literally that would give their life savings to get down here, to get out of that tyranny that we call New York State. You know, I recently saw a clip even of like pop artist Pitbull, and he was on stage at a concert down here, and he's a Cuban immigrant. And there's a lot of immigrants down here that have come to the US legally here to Florida from countries like Cuba. And again, you know, he said to folks, he's like, you know, I love America. And if you don't love it here, if you don't love Florida, go home.
Right.
Right. So I think sometimes these people that are complaining, they just don't realize really like how good they have it until they don't. And I really wish that you would have found a way to keep those people off the plane from coming back here.
Well, I tried. I certainly tried. speaking of planes, so what was the general consensus with this Martha Vineyard, which I thought was freaking genius? When he did that, I was like, oh my God, this is so brilliant. He's about to expose the left. He's about to completely call them out, mm-hmm. which he did. It was executed brilliantly. A whole bunch of lawsuits were filed against DeSantis, inhumane. All this crap was filed against him, which disappeared. So clearly nobody had anything. And we all know that DeSantis crossed his T's and dotted his I's before he put a single migrant on that plane. DeSantis is not stupid. He's not going to just do something impulsively without thinking of the legal implications that he may personally face for making a decision like this. So I thought it was brilliant. What was the general consensus down in Florida like when he did that?
So no one obviously knew it was even happening. Like, it wasn't like it was something that he promoted to the Floridian people that he was doing.
Like, after the fact.
You know, and I'm sure I'll make some of your, I'm sure I'll make some of your Trump fan followers mad when I say this, but DeSantis is a man of a few words, as in, like, I mean, yes, he talks and he's on news conferences and such, but he doesn't need to oversell things. He doesn't need to convince people of things. He doesn't need to let you know about things. He just does it. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, even after he did it, he spent zero time explaining his decisions to the media. Like, it was like, just, it was like, he did it. He meant it. He'll do it again. Moving on. And I think that, like, again, his leadership has been very much like that, where he looks into it, he means it, he executes it, and he stands by it, and he doesn't look back. And I know that I, as a Floridian, can appreciate that. But he said since day one, if you send them to Florida, they're not staying here. He's been saying that for two years now.
Yes,
send them here, or they come in here, they're going home.
Yep.
And I think that, again, especially down in Southeast Florida, we have a huge immigrant population of folks that have come here legally that are living the American dream. They came here because they didn't want to live in fear. They didn't want to live in a dangerous environment. They wanted to make an honest living. And DeSantis is going to protect those people. And he's not going to let people just come into his state and run it. So I appreciate his leadership style. I think sometimes he's a less is best guy, but he executes and he stands by it.
It is one of the things I admire about him, his ability to just squash a situation. And I think it's because he doesn't let the media run all over him. You know, like you said, he put him on a plane. Right. He sent him to Martha's Vineyard. He didn't sit there and justify it or defend it. He made it very clear. If you keep pulling this crap, we're going to turn around and send him to sanctuary towns, sanctuary cities. You said you wanted them. You said you'd welcome them with open arms. There you go. I'm done. I'm now on to my next issue. And it's very just kind of black and white. That's it. We're done.
Yeah. He never looked back. And even when the media was criticizing him and, you know, all these individuals were saying it was just so, you know, unethical of him to send these people off to Martha's Vineyard and such, he didn't care. He meant what he did, and he moved on to the next thing. So for that, I'm very appreciative, because he doesn't lose his focus and he doesn't get involved in the turmoil and the back and forth that other politicians have been known to get involved in.
Well,
that's what I love about him.
And this is why the media hates him, isn't it? Because he just doesn't tolerate their nonsense. Even with the hurricane that devastated the Fort Myers area. Do you remember that day? The next day, you had CNN reporters from MSNBC, and they're like, what do you think about the delayed reaction? And DeSantis is like, what the hell are you talking about, delayed reaction? We had this thing assessed and dealt with like 4 days before we even knew it was going. and that was it. It was done. They just, and they constantly do it. They constantly try to slam him. Because just like Trump, he's just 100% against the fake narrative. He'll call them out to their face. He'll make them look stupid live during their interviews, and they can't stand it. So I'm not surprised that there's a relentless attack on DeSantis, but I do think he's handled it very well up to this point. Do you think he runs for president? What would you like to see?
Oh, that's a tough one, because we know that. So unlike New York State and other states where you could just run for governor your whole life, we are a two-term state. So if DeSantis gets in this year, this will be his last term that he's able to serve as governor in Florida. So he, you know, he certainly will need to have different political aspirations moving on from being the governor of Florida. I think it's too early to tell yet for 2024 if he would be the right candidate for president. I go back and forth. I think that there's still more to this whole situation that's yet to be written. And I don't say that it's not going to happen, but I'm not sure if 2024 at this very moment would be the right time for him either. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be done in office, so he's going to need to have a plan after he's done as your governor.
I agree. I think he just focuses on serving out his term as governor of Florida. Right. I also like that we're now 4 years away from COVID. We're 4 years away from the BS. Because let's be honest, the media has brainwashed the left. Not all of them, but a lot of them has brainwashed them into believing that DeSantis is a reckless, irresponsible monster. Okay. And I think they're slowly starting to realize that that's not the case. I mean, every decision that this guy made, every single decision throughout COVID, the media jumped straight on it. And I can't believe DeSantis is so reckless. I can't believe he's forcing people not to mask up, which he never did. He just made it optional. He forced people to be able to have the tyrants to not force masking up. That's all that happened.
Right. Choice.
What's that?
Choice. Freedom to choose. Choice.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the media spinned it. They made him look like an irresponsible and reckless monster. And you did have half the country not liking DeSantis, the same as what they did with Trump. I think we're too close to the emotional roller coaster that the media inflicted upon DeSantis. And I do think that if he just rides out the governorship for his term and then goes in 2028, we're so emotionally removed from what happened from COVID. I think he stands a much better chance, and it's a done deal. It's a walk in the park. I think it's his to lose.
Yeah, I would also say that I could see him being a good vice president or even a speaker of the House. I feel like there may need to be some type of transition from him being the governor here in Florida into the national spotlight.
So you don't think he should go straight for it then? You'd like to see him step up.
I think that, I mean, he's young, right? Politically, he's young.
He's only
realize.
42 years old. I think he's 42.
He's like 42, 43 years old. He's young when you look at our average age of what the presidents tend to be, right? It's going to be very interesting to see. I don't want to put my eggs all in one basket at this point and say for sure or not what's going to happen. But what I do know is that, you know, every day that we do have him in Florida, I'll be thankful for that. So I won't be disappointed, I guess, either way.
I mean, how old was Obama when he was a president? Or Clinton? What was it? Or Obama was pretty young, right?
Obama was a younger president. Kennedy was a younger president. But I mean, when you look at the age of like Trump, Biden.
Yeah.
They tend to be older.
Okay, so Barack Obama was 47 years old when he was sworn in. So still quite a few. So DeSantis will be about 47, 48 when he goes for it, 47-ish. But it's interesting, you know, that you think he should go to maybe vice president's or speaker of the House. I think he'd make a great speaker. But I'm just worried if he did that, he'd miss out on his opportunity. You know, I'm worried if you drag it too long. You know, I think there's a very limited window of opportunity. And the whole country is just jazzed up on DeSantis right now. So that would be my only concern if he didn't go for it right away. But I see the logic in it. I see the logic in kind of stepping up into it. The problem with vice president for me, you look at Mike Pence, you look at, well, Biden, but I mean, come on, Biden's an anomaly here. The vice president's kind of only as good or bad, I feel, as what happened during their boss's tenure. Do you know what I mean? It can go horribly wrong. It could work out or it could go horribly wrong. I don't know. I just don't know if I'd be comfortable with DeSantis taking the risk. Like, who would be the president then? Who would DeSantis be a vice president to? I guess is the question. And would that be a, like, who would it be? Trump's definitely not going to run. If he doesn't run now, he's done. He's never going to run again. Right.
Right.
So who do you put DeSantis
under? I don't think DeSantis. Yeah. I don't think DeSantis would run under Pence.
No, no way. No chance.
As far as the national level is over.
Done.
Yeah. It's very interesting because, I mean, I think both parties, Democrats and Republicans, it's still very up in the air who they would run in 2024.
And a lot of people say DeSantis, Trump. I mean, no chance in hell does DeSantis run under Trump.
So they have two very different styles. And the other thing also, which, I mean, wouldn't make or break it, is one of them would have to change their legal residence because a president and a vice president both can't be on the same ticket with the same home state or you lose your electoral votes. So,
right.
You know, there's that to consider, which again, Trump could just make his residence in New York again.
But he gets screwed in taxes. He absolutely nailed.
He'd get like raped in his taxes. Yeah. And I think too is they have some similar beliefs, but they have very different styles in the way that they communicate. And I'm not sure that they would, that DeSantis would want to be second to Trump. Mm-hmm. He's carried himself very differently in the political arena than Trump has.
And I just think you have two, it's too alpha dominated. Could you imagine these two trying to work together? The whole thing just would not feel right. At least I don't think. I think they're both great as leaders at the top, but I can't envision DeSantis being an assistant because that's what he would be. He'd just be an assistant. And we all know the vice president doesn't get to do much. It's not like they're out there calling the shots, leading by example. I mean, they're just the president's lapdog at the end of the day. You kind of write out your 4 years, you do a few good things. Hopefully your president doesn't totally screw it up for you. And then you go for the top job one day as well. I just don't see DeSantis doing that under Trump.
Yeah. I feel like every year politics get a little bit more interesting and more curveballs are thrown our way. Right. Like, I feel like, you know, 10 years ago, everything was kind of like, you saw it coming, right? Like, you're like, oh, this is who will run and this is what will happen. And this is, I think that right now this country's just going through so much change and turbulence and just, there's such a, just pulling from every different party, you know, going on between the Democrats, Republicans, and this dumpster fire that the current administration has us under, that I think it's entirely too early to make any predictions. I have no doubt that 2024, when it rolls around, will be a good one again, but I don't know. I really could not predict today who would be running.
And to be honest, the candidates who have kind of made it clear, you got Pompeo, Nikki Haley, maybe Pence. I just don't like any of them. I think they're all very weak. I don't see any powerhouse hitter.
A DeSantis Newsom showdown would be quite interesting, though.
Yeah, that would. But like we said, I just don't think it's going to happen. So over in Arizona, real quick, have you been following the gubernatorial in Arizona, Carrie Lake?
What do you think
about this one? Carrie Lake up 3.2% in the polls. She's got to win it. She has to win it, which is going to be another huge. She will join DeSantis in the freedom movement. She is like a female DeSantis.
Yeah. She calls people out like no other. Mm-hmm. Even just like recently she held like a little press conference. I don't know if you had covered it on Patriot One News, where she literally made up like a fake scenario just to get their attention and show them how ridiculous they are in what they choose to report or don't choose to report.
Right.
And, you know, it's similar to when, you know, DeSantis has a press conference in Brandon, Florida, right? Like, they know how to get the little jabs in or to get the attention of the people, but they know also like when enough is enough and when to get down to business. Yeah, it's interesting because I think that we're going to start seeing a little pack of governors like DeSantis's who are all going to join forces and kind of become this elite, you know, group of
conservatives.
Like the cool, they're going to be the cool kids in school that everybody wants to be.
The ultra MAGA. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. Right. I don't care. Carrie Lake's ultra MAGA. You know, it's there's no shame in using that term anymore. I know the Democrats try to make us feel embarrassed by it, but it's in my profile. I mean, we're embracing it now, and you have Carrie Lake now joining the ultra MAGA team. First, it was Trump created the movement. DeSantis said, "Awesome, I'm going with this." Whether he didn't want to be Trump, but he's like, "No, I'm fully on board with this ultra MAGA movement." Now you've got Carrie Lake, Lee Zeldin in New York is now finally starting to find his groove. And if you've been following Zeldin from the very beginning, I was like, "Dude, you need to be more ultra MAGA, or you don't stand a damn chance." In New York State. Don't
give
worry.
The people what they want.
Exactly.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly. Don't look back. Don't feel bad about it. Who cares what the Democrats paint you out to be? Who cares what the progressives and the radicals say about you? Because you can't play both sides. You have to pick a side. And I think that's what we're now seeing with a lot of these top spots. Dixon Whitmer, have you followed that? What do you think about this race? Have you followed much of the Whitmer Dixon campaign?
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah.
So Whitmer, I used to joke, was like was meant to be Cuomo's girlfriend. Okay. I waited for something to a little romance to spark between those two.
Right.
Michigan is much like New York. So I think that the energy in Michigan is a little bit different than Arizona, because Arizona kind of swings in the wind, which direction they go during election season. Michigan, I want to think that the people of Michigan have had enough, just like I want to think that the people of New York have had enough. I think, though, that Michigan may be even closer than New York. If I had to guess, I think Zeldin has a better chance of winning.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay.
I personally do.
Well,
what do they have? What are the, my screen's so small here. What are the percentages? What are the point difference right now? Well, is it 5?
Nope. 3.6 Whitmer. And
okay. Yeah. It's so little. I can't see it.
Real Clear Politics is calling a toss up, which is good. I mean, it just goes to show.
I think this election may be closer than New York. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe it's just because I'm biased to like New York State and what's going on. And I want to believe that people in New York have woken up. But I'm not going to be shocked if Michigan goes Whitmer again. I think it's like, I almost want to compare it to like the Virginia, New Jersey races.
Right.
I just don't know yet if Michigan has had enough.
Well, they do have Whitmer up by 3.6%, which would be too bad. I'm not sure the hardcore MAGAs are sold on Dixon. I think
no, I'm not either.
That's the issue.
She doesn't have the same endorsements either, and she hasn't had anybody really come out to campaign for her that's gotten enough attention.
Yeah,
that have made people really excited. I mean, I have to tell you, like New York, just you need to thank us Floridians now for letting you borrow DeSantis. When I saw pictures in that crowd of people with DeSantis signs at a New York rally, it was, you know, I think that there's something to be said about having, you know, folks like Trump, DeSantis, and these ultra MAGAs behind you when you're running. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see that energy in Michigan. I think that this next week is going to be really crucial. Like, how can she garner the attention that she needs to take down Whitmer? I think Zeldin right now is coming off of a really hot weekend of campaigning, and hopefully he's got a couple more things up his sleeve to grab a couple more people's attention that are on the fence about who to vote for.
You know what I like about Zeldin? I genuinely believe he's a good, honest person. And I hope this doesn't come back to haunt me, this next statement. I don't think they're ever going to find anything on Zeldin. I think if they did, it would have already come out by now. And I think that's a great testament to somebody like Lee Zeldin. You know, yes, he's a conservative. Yes, he voted. He's backed Trump, you know, quite a few times. But I just think he's a good, down-to-earth, hardworking Republican conservative. And I don't think we're going to find any dirt on this guy. Like I said, I think if they were going to, they would have by now. And I think that's going to capture a lot of the independent and even some of the moderate Democrat vote. I really do. I think he's, a lot of people are like, oh, Zeldin, the lesser of two evils, blah, blah. And I'm like, hold on a second. Maybe he's just trying to not pander, because I don't believe in pandering. I believe, come on, you got your views, you got your policies, let's go for it. But I do think Zeldin was the perfect pick for New York because we are so outnumbered here. We are so Democrat heavy. We are so liberal heavy. You can't have a DeSantis in New York. It will never, ever work. You have to have a moderate Republican that kind of teeters on the edge of conservatism. And I think that's what we got with Zeldin. I think that's why he's even as close as he is. What about Pennsylvania? Because this is huge. Pennsylvania, Georgia, give us control of the Senate. Real Clear Politics has Fetterman, which I don't agree with at all, up 1.5. I mean, razor thin here. Insider Advantage has Oz up 3. A bunch of polls have Fetterman up. Again, we have a situation where Oz isn't from Pennsylvania. Joe Biden's now down there getting in everybody's ear that, come on, Fetterman's a true, hardworking, blue-collar Pennsylvanian. I mean, the guy's a freaking trust fund baby, first of all, right? So, but what do you think's going to go on in this race? Do we think Oz does it? I think Oz is going to do it, and I'm praying that Oz does it because, again, we don't get Pennsylvania or Georgia. I think we're in trouble.
Yeah. Oz has been a really interesting one to watch right from the beginning. I think, though, that Pennsylvania and Georgia, again, are two of the states that I don't know if they like realize how lucky or like how good they've had it over the years, because even when we look at like the 2020 elections and some of the recent races, even, you know, down in Georgia and such, my hope is that people want to preserve what they do have, that they're realizing in other states that what the Democrats have provided is not working. It's the demise of your state. I mean, this is a really close race. Really close race.
Mm-hmm. Too close for comfort.
This is definitely, I think it's too close to call. This is one that we're going to be watching possibly even after election night, depending on how close the votes are.
The Secretary of State, the acting Secretary of State, I don't know if you know this, of Pennsylvania, is already making excuses why it's going to be a delayed vote. She can't find enough poll workers. She can't get ballots sorted in time. They're making a ton of excuses, which is so annoying because you only ever hear these excuses in battleground key states. We never hear about these excuses in states where it's just a strong blue or a strong red. It's always, have you noticed that? It's always in the battleground states. Oh, well, we got a runoff. Runoff, I can understand. But come on, get your freaking act together. You guys have had it. They've known about this new way of voting, mail-in ballots, for 2 years now. And we already have the acting secretary making excuses. So, no, I don't think we're going to see a decision called on the 8th for Pennsylvania. One more, and then we'll wrap it up. Because, again, this is very crucial to taking control of the state. We have the Georgia Senate between Walker and Warnock. We've got Walker up projected only 1.6 points. Real Clear Politics has a ranking of a toss-up, and they have a projection of a December 6th runoff. So they're projecting Georgia actually goes to a runoff. Just real quick before you answer that, Real Clear Politics is also projecting back in the Pennsylvania race that it's a GOP hold. So even though the polls are showing Fetterman up by a point and a half, they're still calling it for Oz, GOP hold. Georgia, however, they're predicting a runoff. What do you think in this case?
Georgia's been so disappointing. like in, right. in the last few like major races,
they have
right?
Been.
Like
they have been, yeah.
And they really seem to have some issues also with their with voting integrity and just a lot of questionable accusations that continuously come out down there, or I should say up there now, my neighbors to the north.
Right.
Honestly, I won't be shocked to see this one go either way. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, there's been a couple of recent, you know, elections, races that I thought for sure were going to go to the Republicans. It didn't. So I don't know. Again, are they just, again, is it an instance of they don't realize what they're getting themselves into or really how good they have it? Georgia's disappointing to me.
The one saving grace for me, the reason I'm somewhat hopeful about Georgia is because Brian Kemp is destroying progressive far left radical
yeah.
Stacey Abrams. 7.6 yes. point lead.
Yep.
And that's great because my God, I was like, oh my God, if this is even close, Georgia is screwed. Like we're screwed. Okay. I mean, Stacey Abrams is a disaster for America. And she's not even close to Brian Kemp for the governor.
Yeah. So I've done a little bit of reading up on this race. And I know that this is another similar situation where the Democrats just weren't pouring a lot of money into mm-hmm. this campaign. I think that like Florida, they were focusing their resources on the national elections, on those Senate seats. So I can't say that this doesn't necessarily surprise me again, because I just don't think that they put the resources into this candidate at all, because I think that they knew going into it that Kemp had a pretty good base of voters.
Right. So before you go, do we take the House?
I think so. Yeah.
You do? I think so. I think we'll take the House.
I think so.
And yeah. Do we take the Senate?
I think absolutely.
Awesome. Good. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me today, Christina. It's always a pleasure having you on. Stay
always
free
fun.
Down in Florida. I pray that we're going to be joining you in a week. I mean, there is so much on the line for all of us up here in New York. We're either going to be joining you. Well, let me put it this way. We're going to be joining you one way or another, whether we're free from New York or we move down to Florida to be with you free there. Okay. You know, we've got our sights set. So let's just fingers crossed that we get it done in New York. Thank you so much for joining me, Christina.
Thank you. And as I was telling my husband this morning, as much as I want so many of you to come join me in Florida, as many of you have promised me if Hochul wins, I also am going to be super happy for all of you if Zeldin wins. And I guess you'll just have to come down and visit more often if you can't move here.
Absolutely. Well, listen, who knows? We're getting sick of the cold winters up here, so we might find ourselves down there either way. But a Hochul win will make the decision a lot easier for us. You take
yes.
care, all right?
I'll have more of my friends joining me sooner. Thanks so much
awesome.
For having me.
Thanks, Christina. Well, there you have it, guys. A good deep dive into the final stretch. I mean, we got 7 days left. Everybody, get out, vote. Red ticket across the board, straight line. Don't even think about it. Let's take back control of the House and the Senate. Thanks so much for watching the Matt Clark Report. We'll see you tomorrow, same time.